KVD hanging out with you this afternoon. It is Hard Knock Radio. You know, in the wake of what has been going on around the Zimmerman trial verdict, Barack Obama giving his speech, what's been kind of not on the front burner, and I think it should also be there, are the type of moves that are being made by anti-abortion forces around the country. We saw our curiosity, our interest was piqued a couple of weeks ago in Texas when we saw Wendy Davis, a legislator from the Fort Worth area, standing up and attempting to give a filibuster. She spoke for something like 11 hours before she was unceremoniously stopped, and then they tried to ram a draconian law through, and they were stopped, but only to have the governor of Texas call for another special session with the promise that he was going to pass one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country come hell or high water, which he did last week. We also have in North Carolina, not North Carolina, but North Dakota, a bill being put before that's going to make it almost impossible to have abortion. They're talking about the minute that you can hear a heartbeat, that's going to disallow you to have that choice. Texas is following suit on top of the draconian bills that they have put forth. And it seems like this is a wake-up call for millions of women around the country who have not only flooded the capitals of places like Texas, but they are now getting ready to take other direct action steps. And so we have a number of women that are in the studio and on the phone lines. So why don't we go around and you introduce yourselves to the audience. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Alex, and we're in a situation nationwide where abortion rights are in a state of emergency. So we're going into this abortion rights freedom ride through the five states that have one abortion clinic left and calling on everyone who thinks that abortion is an essential right for women to be able to decide when and whether they become mothers so they aren't left reduced to the role of incubators for society and enslaved to their own reproductive systems.
Okay, who else?
I'm Andrea. I'm also one of the Freedom Riders that's going on this month-long trip to really take the truth out to people and really turn the whole tide on this state of emergency with abortion rights.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'm Mia, and I want to make
sure... Talk a little bit louder, Mia.
And I'm Mia, and I want to make sure that the rights for abortion are accessible to women everywhere because it's shown that when women don't have the right to abortion, they'll die.
And on the phone line with us from New York City...
Hi, this is Sansara Taylor. I write for Revolution Newspaper at revcom.us, and I had no idea I was going to be on with so many of the abortion rights freedom riders. I'm glad to be with you guys and see you in a week in North Dakota.
So let's talk about, you said you're going to five states around the country that have the most restrictive. What are these five states?
Well, we're actually, let me just interject, we're actually going to about 15 states.
15, okay.
And, yeah, but there are five states with only one clinic left in the whole state that do abortion, so we're making sure we go through each of those on our way. But this is, and I'll say which they are, but it's a month-long 15-state freedom ride for abortion rights that is responding, as you said, to the other state of emergency confronting abortion rights all across this country. You could go to Texas, North Carolina, North Dakota, South Carolina, Arizona. Yeah, you could just go Arkansas, anywhere almost in this country. Illinois just passed new restrictions. Abortion is increasing. It's never been more dangerous to provide. It's never been more difficult to access, and it's never been more stigmatized. And so the states that have only one clinic in them is North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Arkansas, and Mississippi, and we will be stopping in those places.
And we also want some of those places like Mississippi were very successful with people on the ground stopping the passage of draconian bills initially. I know a couple of years ago we had celebrated the work of people out of the University of Miss, a lot of sisters who came together and were going to stop, I think it was H.R. 56. And so what has happened is that it seems like these legislatures have come up with new strategies in order to get a lot of these restrictive bills passed. Most of the time, they attach them to other things that are needed, you know. So the education bill will have an abortion amendment attached to
it.
Yeah,
that's right.
And so the next thing you know, it winds up passing because people are weighing, you know, do they want money for education or do they want to, you know, bite the bullet and not have access to abortion? abortion, and that's how that kind of plays out. Let me ask all of you this, and anybody can jump in. Somebody listening to this will say, well, look, if all these laws are passing in 15 and 20 states, maybe that's the will of the people. I mean, if it's not the will of the people, then how are these laws getting passed? Anybody want to tackle that question? Anybody? Alex?
Sure. Yeah. Well, what we're seeing since 1973 when Roe v. Wade has passed is a whole backlash. And it's a whole trajectory, really, that it's not so much about this or that individual person or this or that individual state, but more, you know, we're all with a movement that's aiming to stop patriarchy. And really, if you look at a whole system of capitalism that uses patriarchy and that creates patriarchy as one of many, many different forms of oppression, like you were just talking about the Zimmerman verdict, you were talking about, you know, there are people who think that people are being racist by criticizing Zimmerman and saying that he was racially profiling. But yeah, actually, if we look at the history of this country, if we look at the system that is globally commodifying people and treating people like property, oppressing huge sections of people around the world, it matters a little bit less what each individual person thinks. But what is this path? This is a path that the whole nation is on, whether or not you're in one of these states. On the one hand, It's sort of immoral to just abandon women in these states where 97% of rural counties in this country don't have an abortion provider. And most women right now don't have any meaningful access to abortion.
Right.
And on the other hand, it's sort of delusional to think that this is not going to sweep the nation. If this is acceptable that women are incubators, the view that women, you know, their highest role in life is to be mothers, that's a problem that's much bigger than this or that person's personal opinion, and those personal opinions are being influenced at the same time by a whole system that accepts unacceptable arguments. Like, you see Republican legislators like Todd Akin making these, you know, comments last year about what is legitimate rape and women can prevent pregnancy if the rape is real. This is lunacy, and this is, you know, when this is an acceptable part of political discourse, people can think all kinds of different things, but we got to actually look at reality and look at the situation that's confronting women.
One of the interesting scenarios around abortion, this whole abortion argument, is the fact that, well, there's two things going on. One is, if you have an unwanted pregnancy and you bring it to term, then we've seen all around the country, and including in many of the states that you talked about, resources to provide for folks, everything from health care to food stamps to prenatal care to daycare. All that stuff has been gutted. Head Start is gone in mm-hmm. some places, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one thing to think about. So people want you to bring the child to term, but then there's no resources, and then you're considered an irresponsible, unfit mother if you can't take care of somebody who you didn't want to have brought in the first place. The mm-hmm. second thing is, in places like Texas, from what I understand, because we followed that story closely, is that these quote-unquote abortion clinics aren't just abortion clinics. If I'm correct, in many places, that is maybe 1% of what they provide. What you're talking about are just clinics that, you know, serve as health care centers for people, will give you planned parenting type of thing. Yeah. So if you want to get birth control and all that sort of stuff, that's gone now. You only have one clinic in a state. So can you all speak to that, and how will this Freedom Ride start to address that? Sorry, did you want to hit that?
Yeah, I think it's really important what you're revealing and what you're saying is that the movement against abortion has never been about concern over babies. It just never has been. As you're describing all the cutbacks for people who actually want to have children, support their children, low-income women, single mothers, oppressed women of all stripes, there is no support for women like that. So I think that's very exposing. But the other thing is that, which you also touched on, the entire anti-abortion movement is also against birth control. They really are driven, not that everybody who's quote-unquote pro-life understands this or is pro-life for this reason, but at its core, the movement against abortion has always been about returning women to the position of basically chattel. Look, women have been chattel and property of men for thousands of years. It's very new historically that women have been viewed even partially as full human beings. And this is what is actually under fire with these attacks on abortion. And it's so serious that they don't care if it means shutting down other health facilities for women and for families. They are so determined to see women return to the status of breeders. And actually, one of the things that we want to do with this Freedom Ride is there are millions and millions of people who are sickened by this. There's so many people who hate these attacks and do not want to see women enslaved to their reproduction, forced to have children against their will. But they need, you know, a lot of them are they're isolated, they're overwhelmed, they're defensive, they feel like they can't say that. This Abortion Rights Freedom Ride, we are, you know, kicking off today at rallies in New York City and San Francisco. People should come out to them. It's at 4:30 in San Francisco at Potrero del Sol Park and 4 o'clock in Union Square in New York City. And we're kicking off and we're giving people a way to call for and rally publicly in states across this country and say abortion on demand and without apology. There is no shame in this. If you're pregnant and you don't want to be, then you shouldn't have a child. The only good reason to have a child is because you want one. Not because the birth control failed, not because as punishment for having sex. The only good reason to have a child, it's a huge decision, is because you want a child and you're ready to care for one. And we should have no defensiveness about getting out there, supporting the clinics and rallying people to tell their own stories of abortion, be unashamed about this, and to say women are human beings. And so we'll be rallying, kicking off today, and then we'll be converging in North Dakota on August 1st, right as laws are set to go into effect that would close the last clinic there. We're hoping there'll be an injunction, but we'll be there either way. We'll be in Wichita, Kansas a week later on August 10th when where Dr. George Tiller was killed, and a new clinic has been opened, which is very courageous, but they're under extreme threat. And we'll be culminating, I'm not naming all the stops, but we'll be culminating in Jackson, Mississippi, on August 17th, where we're having a huge celebration with the clinic down there, the only clinic in the state that is only open, despite everything you were saying, the mobilizations, mass mobilizations of support around the state for that clinic, it is only open today because of a court injunction. There's a law that would close it down, and it's temporarily stayed. And we're there to demand that that clinic be, you know, able to continue its practice, and that you know, people will be caravanning with us.
Right.
And joining with the clinic there on August 17th as the culmination of the ride.
You mentioned George Tiller, who was murdered. He was a doctor who performed late-term abortions. That was horrific. But unfortunately, Mr. Tiller is not the only person who has been subjected to domestic terror. We've seen over the past 20, 30 years a number of abortion clinics bombed, people beaten, people harassed, and people targeted who want to stand up and take the position that you all are taking. How do you all feel about this there? When you have folks that are drawing lines in the sand and have been acting with impunity in terms of passing these laws and ginning up people's emotions, this, you know, the Freedom Rides, you know, which is what I think you're invoking when you use that name, resulted in a lot of people being beaten and harassed and killed as they tried to integrate buses into the past. This could very well happen when you go to these places, especially not being from those places. I've been to some of those spots. How do you all feel about that? And I'm asking that not to plant seeds of fear, but very seriously. I mean, folks are not playing when they're trying to really shut this scenario down. You know, the right for women to have abortions, this seems to be driven, as you said, a lot more than just it's about control, not saving babies. But how do you all feel about this? I'll start off with you. What's your name again?
Andrea,
how are you feeling about this?
All of that is true, but I think really what is at stake here is the lives of millions of women, the future of millions of women. And you know, we're not afraid to go in the front of these lunatics. We're not afraid to call them out for what they are. We're not afraid to stand up in a way that, yeah, we are invoking the Freedom Ride purposely, the original one. It really is a situation where women are enslaved. And abortion is an essential right. If women don't have the right to abortion, it's true that those clinics provide all sorts of other health services, but really without this right, women are going to die. And that's unacceptable. No one should want to live in a world where women are enslaved to their reproductive organs. No one should want that world, and we should fight.
When you say they're going to die, it's because they will seek it out. They will seek it.
Women are already going to desperate measures to terminate unwanted pregnancies. This is already happening in the U.S. right now. This is happening. We see like what happens in El Salvador, women being jailed for having miscarriages, otherwise known, as spontaneous abortions. We see what happens in Ireland, where there was a fetal heartbeat law there, where Savita Halpanavar was, had a partial miscarriage. They denied her an abortion until the fetal heartbeat stopped, and she died from blood poisoning. Abortion would have saved her life, and it will save the lives of millions of women. It's all about, and, you know, no woman should be forced into a situation where she has to foreclose her life and her dreams.
Right.
Simply because she got pregnant. Simply because she had sex. It's unacceptable.
Okay. What would you add? What's your name again?
Mia.
Mia. Thank you.
There are over 80% of these clinics who have come under some form of harassment. And we're told time and time again, and it's the it's mostly the trend for people to just lay low and not say anything about it. It's people see what's going on with abortion, but then they don't think that they have anything to do with it, or they don't think that they can stand up for it, and it's not gonna stop if everybody is just laying low and just dealing with one terrible thing at a time. With every law that comes into being, just dealing with that in the state that it happens. It's a whole war on women. It's a whole war on the rights that were gained in the women's liberation movement, and even after that. So if we lay low and if we don't do anything about it, the tide will still turn to where there will be no abortion clinics left.
It seems like it's going a little bit more. I mean, you mentioned the law in El Salvador where if you have a miscarriage, it's considered a spontaneous abortion, but you even have this being floated here that in some of the states, I think it might be Alabama, maybe I'm wrong on the state, but if you have a miscarriage, then, the police are called in to investigate right here in the U.S. How did this happen? Were you drinking? Did you smoke a cigarette? It's all these different types of things that come in, and at the end of the day, I would have to say it's controlling the bodies. Because nobody's talking to me as a man as to what I do with my body. Maybe I have a fifth of gin. I might not be taking care of myself, and impregnate somebody, and because my bad genes is messing up, all of a sudden you have, we have as a couple, a child who is not fully healthy or doesn't even survive because I didn't take care of. But nobody's pulling me into a clinic and going, hey, were you drinking, smoking, or whatever? So it definitely is a thing of control. And also nobody's limiting my birth control. I can get whatever I need whenever I need it. They're not stopping the sale of condoms, or anything like that. But they are stopping your ability to get pills and other devices or go to clinics where they're going to fit that. So it's definitely something to think about. As we close out, what are these Freedom Rides going to look like? Are you in a caravan? Are you going in front of clinics and making your presence felt? Or, are you holding rallies? What does this look like? Who wants to at least give us a scenario? You get to North Carolina August 1st. What can we expect to see from you?
Well, North Dakota on August 1st.
North Dakota,
I'm
sorry.
Mixing up your norths. That's okay. But we're gonna be doing a lot of outreach. We have displays. We're going to be collecting women's stories about abortions, taking this out of the shadows. We are going to be rallying in some places with the clinics. In every place on August 3rd, August 10th, and August 17th, in the three major stops, we're having regional rallies, and people are going to be caravanning with us, joining us there, standing up in Fargo, in Wichita, and in Jackson, Mississippi. People can find the places and connect with this and be part of the Freedom Ride at stoppatriarchy.org. The other thing I want to say is that like Andrea and Mia were speaking to, this really is the lives and the futures of millions of women. And there is, you know, there's a couple dozen of us on the Freedom Ride itself. There's other people who will be caravanning with us. You can caravan, you can join us, you can meet us on one of these stops. But even if you can't physically get on this ride, you should be on this ride with us. You should be a virtual Freedom Rider. You should hook up with us through the website. You should be following this and spreading this. Because, one, its impact needs to be amplified. We're really carrying the hopes and the futures of millions of women's lives. And you need to be part of strengthening this. And also you need to be part of having the backs of the Freedom Riders. Because while we're not going to court or provoke any danger, it is very serious what we're doing, and people need to follow it. They need to have our backs. They need to be with us. So I really strongly urge everybody to go to stoppatriarchy.org and get connected.
We appreciate that. I want to thank you, Sar, for being on the phone with us in New York City. Alex, thank you for being in the studio. Andrea, Mia, any last comments before we close out? Anything you want to let people know? We wish you luck. We're looking forward to you all holding it down, and you know, maybe the women in Texas and other places where they've been fighting, you know, will also be a part of this, you know, as well.
Yeah, we'd love to give you updates from the road, Davey.
Well, let us know. We'll definitely make that happen. We're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. We're out for now. So there you have it, listening to the Abortion Freedom Riders, and I'm going to put them, you know, in the same vein as others who have been young and who have been speaking out. You know, the Dream Defenders who are sitting in the Capitol in Florida fighting for justice around the Trayvon Martin case. They're getting ready to have a takeover Friday. You also have the BP 100 out of Chicago who have been speaking out and been planning a number of actions. And, of course, you have the Dream 8, those that are now being held in detention as they are fighting around the issues of immigration. And so we want to support those efforts because we don't often hear and get a chance to see them. And so big shout out to them. In the meantime, we want to remind everybody we're in the midst of the